As an evening to you, if you take your New Testament tonight and turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter, we'll begin our study there. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Austin has suggested. And if you've never put Christ on a baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled, and you can be baptized upon your faith in Jesus Christ. Or if you need to be restored, we pray that you would do so this very evening. In the book of Matthew, in the 28th chapter, I want to begin reading with you at verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now tonight, as I present my lesson, I don't have any fancy title to give you. It's simply entitled Baptism. And you know that has been one subject that at one time you heard discussed frequently, but you hear less about it in our day and time. And yet it is a very important subject because you'll find that it is one of the commands of Jesus. Anytime Jesus or the Word of God commands something, or gives an example, or implies something, that is of the utmost importance. And we need to make sure that we teach truth on baptism, lest we teach error and lead someone astray. And what I'd like to do tonight is just go through the Bible and notice what different individuals had to say about baptism. And notice these are men who were guided by the Holy Spirit. They were told what to say. The Holy Spirit guided them into all truth. So the words that came from their lips were words that were there from the mind of God. If you take your Bible tonight, look at what the Apostle Paul said about baptism. And you just write down the Apostle Paul, and you remember now, he's an apostle, and whatever he says is binding and not erroneous. I first want you to take your New Testament and look in the Roman letter and the 6th chapter. And we've read this passage many times, and yet I'm not ashamed to go back and reread what the Apostle Paul had to say about baptism. Notice, if you will, in verse 3 of the Roman letter, chapter 6, Paul said, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection." Now then, notice, if you will, that when Paul spoke of baptism, he speaks of a burial. Notice he said, "You've been buried with Christ." That means a complete immersion. That means that one goes completely under the water. When we take a body out to the cemetery and we bury the body, we don't sprinkle some dirt on it. We don't pour some dirt on it. We make sure that the body is completely covered. And the same is true in baptism. When one is baptized, when one comes to Christ, they must be buried. And that represents and shows us exactly what Christ did. When Christ died, He was buried and raised. And so when we come to Christ, we put the old man of sin to death, we're buried and we're raised, and we're now walking in newness of life, as Paul said. Then if you take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And when you come to the epistle that Paul penned to the church at Corinth, notice that he said in verse 13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." Now I like that statement. First of all, he identifies there's one Spirit. You remember Paul brought that out in the Ephesian letter and the 4th chapter beginning about verse 4. There is one Holy Spirit, and He has revealed the Word. We have God's Word, and the Holy Spirit has revealed that we're to be baptized, and when we're baptized into one body. Now, what's the body? Well, you can read in Colossians chapter 1 or Ephesians chapter 2, and you'll find that the body is the church. It is the church of my Lord. Jesus is the head and the church is the body. But notice if you take your Bible, it says that when you're led by the Spirit, you're directed to be baptized into Christ and be added to the one body, the redeemed, the saved. That's not complicated. But then if you take your Bible, look in the Ephesian letter and the fourth chapter. And when you come to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, notice that Paul, when he's writing, talks about unity. And when he speaks about unity, he eliminates a lot of confusion. He says there's one body. He says there's one Lord. There's one God. There's one Spirit. But notice what he says in verse 5. There is one baptism. Baptism is one act. And it has a purpose. What's its purpose? Well, turn to the Colossian letter and the second chapter and look at what Paul said there. In Colossians 2 and verse 12, Paul said, "You're buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead." Now, I like that statement, "with Him," in like manner. I have been buried and I have been raised, and just as great as you look and think about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, I'll tell you, any time you see someone being baptized for the remission of sins, you see something even greater. You're seeing someone become spiritually alive who was dead. Any time you come up and you see somebody coming up out of that water by faith, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses them from their sin. They are a new person. They are now a child of God. I'll tell you, my friend, what joy to know sins are blotted out by the Lamb of God. Sometimes I wonder if we appreciate that as much as we should. To think about being baptized into Christ Jesus for the remission of sin. Now look in Galatians chapter 3 and notice what he says in verse 27. He says, when you've been baptized into Christ, he said, you've put on Christ. What's that mean? That means that now I'm going to conduct my life in the footsteps of my Master. I've put Him on. He's now living in me, Galatians 2:20. I've been buried with Him. And so I'm going to live a life that glorifies Him. Now all I've done is let you hear what the inspired apostle had to say about baptism. And when you read it, you'll see it's rather serious. Now, there are a lot of people that mock baptism. A lot of people belittle it. But my friend, when Paul wrote about it, he said it is a serious matter. But then if you take your Bible, look at what the Apostle Peter had to say about baptism. And when you read the words of Peter, you'll find that he likewise shows that it is a command of God. In 1 Peter 3:21, you remember he said that there is an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, when one is baptized in this water back here, we're not concerned about the body being clean. We're concerned about the soul being cleansed from its sin. We're concerned about the blood of Jesus taken away. And notice he said it's not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Now watch it. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we've been raised like Him. We're now a disciple. We are now a Christian. We're now a follower. Now think about that and let that go over in your mind as you look at your Bible. Then go to Acts 2. And I know how many times we preach on Acts 2, and yet, my friend, we ought not ever be ashamed to go back and preach on it again. And remember what happened on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up with the 11, and they preached the first gospel sermon, and their hearts were pricked in verse 37, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You notice Peter said, "Just say the Lord's Prayer." Now, if your Bible says that, then you've got the wrong Bible. The Bible says he looked at them and he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now what do you have to do? Peter said, "I'll tell you what you have to do. Repent, change. And in your change, you're baptized. And when you're baptized, he said, notice, it's for the remission of sins. It's to blot out sin. And notice what else he said. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. What's that mean? It means by his authority. Why do we say at the end of a prayer, in the name of Christ? Sometimes I wonder if we know. We're saying by the authority of Christ, we say this prayer. He's our high priest. We're going to God through him. It's by his authority we can reach the throne of God. Hebrews 4. But now then, I think that when you look at what the Apostle Paul said, and you look at what the Apostle Peter said, you'll find that baptism is a serious matter that should not be overlooked. But then take your Bible and look in the book of Acts in the 22nd chapter. And notice what Ananias said. This man in Damascus, this preacher of God, this man of God who went to Saul before he was converted. And you remember that when he came to Saul, and he was sent by God, and notice what he says in verse 16, why tarriest thou? That's a great question. Now, Saul, I want to know one thing. Why are you waiting? He said, arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I like that. I recognize that Ananias came to that man and he said, there's no reason to delay obedience. Sometimes I've had some people say, I know I need to be baptized, but I want to do it for the right reason. You know what the right reason is? Because you want to obey God. It's not to please mother and father. It's not to please your grandparents. It's not just so you'll be accepted by your peers. It's because God has commanded it and you want to be a child of God. And sometimes I think some of us don't realize that we are baptized so our sins will be blotted out. You're not going to be perfect before baptism. And you're not going to be perfect after. But you're going to strive to please God. But then look at what Philip said in the book of Acts in the 8th chapter in verse 35. When he is riding along with the eunuch and he is preaching, notice it said he opened his mouth and preached his opinion. No. He opened his mouth and preached Jesus. And notice in the preaching of Jesus what that led to. The eunuch, when he saw water, he said, what hinders me from being baptized? You know what would have hindered him? If he didn't have faith. If he didn't believe that the blood of Christ would cleanse him. Because what does Philip ask him? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? That's where it all starts. Had he not believed, he would have just got wet. But then I want you to think about something else. Think about what Jesus said about baptism. And I want us to give serious consideration to the words of Jesus. We just read in Matthew 28, 18 and 19, where you baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in Mark 16, 16, he says, believe and is baptized shall be saved. The one that believes and is baptized. That's a conjunction. There is belief and there's baptism. Now, if you don't believe, you're not going to be baptized. But if you believe, it's going to put your faith in God, and you will lead to baptism. But if you don't believe, you're lost right there. Now then, we've looked at what the Apostle Paul said. We looked at the words of the Apostle Peter. We looked at what Ananias had to say. We examined what Philip said. And then we looked at what our Lord and Savior said. Now I want you to think about what do men today often say. We've listened to the inspired men of God, and we've listened to Jesus about baptism, but have you ever had men tell you their view? I've had some people say, now, preacher, I want to know something. Let's just say that here is an individual that wants to be baptized, and they're in the car, and they're on the way there, and they get in a wreck, or a tree falls on the car. What then? Or I've had some of them say, what if there's a soldier in the foxhole? And he wants to obey, but there's no water. And you ask him, so he wants to obey, yes. But he can't. There's no water. And you know what my answer would be? I'd rather be the soldier wanting to be baptized than the one using him as an excuse not to. Sometimes we come up with hypotheticals. The question is, are we going to be obedient at the opportunity given us? And some have argued it's a non-essential command. Have you ever heard Jesus give something that is non-essential? Jesus had said, all authority has been given to me. If He has all authority, He has the right to tell us what we must do in order to have our sins forgiven and to become citizens in His kingdom. And if you can take that command out of the Bible, let's just name another one. You just start naming which ones we can pick and choose. If you take that one out, I guess we can just take out anything. I'll tell you, my friend, it's not yours, it's not mine to take out. This is the Word of God. Period. But then I've had some people say, preacher, I'd be baptized, but it'd send a loved one to hell. I remember talking to someone, and they were concerned about a spouse who'd passed, and they wouldn't be baptized because they were fearful it would send their loved one to hell. And I want to tell you something, my friend. That's just not true. It doesn't send anyone to hell. When you preach not to be a drunkard, does that mean you're preaching to send them to hell? You don't have the power to send someone to hell. That's God's judgment. You do what God has told you to do. Every one of us are going to stand alone on the day of judgment before this judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to stand with our spouse. We're not going to stand with mom and daddy. We're not going to stand with grandma and granddaddy. We're going to stand on our own two feet before the judgment seat of God. See, you're not in the forest or under a tree, and you're not in the foxhole. You've heard what Jesus said. And the question is, what will your attitude be toward the command of Jesus? I think we've got young men and young ladies here who know what they need to do. The question is, will you do it? What's sad is I've seen some young people who were close to being baptized. Their heart was tender. Their mind was about made up. But something they held off, and then a year or two later, they're just gone away. And I tell you, that breaks my heart. Now's the time to decide to dedicate your life to God. In the days of your youth, remember your Creator. And remember, God has told you what to do to be saved. If tonight you need to be baptized, we pray you'll obey the gospel as together we stand.